So this morning, I was preparing through this week, and since Christmas, I've been thinking of the Bible, the birth story. And to think about it, and this has been on my heart a lot, when God promised to these people, like Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and all these people, there was a promise, but there was a promise which they've never seen before. It never happened before. There was no reference point for them to look back and say, oh, if God promised us, this is how it's going to work. They had no reference point because the reference point was so way out where Mary, probably 14, 15-year-old, she had this angelic visitation and says, you're going to have a child. And she says, how is this possible? How is this possible? An angel says, possible through God. Nothing's impossible with God. So she had no idea of what it was going to look like, what was the promise, and the promise, how the promise was going to unfold, and all of these questions. But in the midst of all of these questions, this is what I love about it, in the midst of all of these questions that a 14-year-old girl would have had, she says, let it be according to your will. Let it be according to your will. And there are times when we say yes to God, but we have no idea what it is going to look like, how it is going to unfold. And in those situations, we stand there and we say, God, I said yes, but I don't know how it's going to happen. But also there are other things that I said last week was we have an expectation of how God should come through with this promise. When God promises something, we will have our own expectation. We'll have our own plan of how this should look. But then, let me tell you this. 100 times it won't look the way that you expected it to be. 100 out of 100, it won't look the way that you expected it to be, but it'll look exactly the way that God expected it to be. I also said last week, I said, Mary would have thought, man, because God promised, and this is a God's child, he's the savior of the world, because I am carrying him, it is going to be easy because God said so. No, it wasn't. She would not have planned that she was going to be on a donkey fully pregnant. She would not even plan that she was going to give birth to the child of God, to the Son of God in a manger. She would not even have imagined to have swaddling clothes to wrap the baby in. These are things that women would not have expected to be, and especially in a normal natural birth, you would not. But even when you know that it is the Son of God, you would expect it would be completely different, but it wasn't. And even for Joseph, oh, Son of God, so I'm gonna be with her, but it's gonna be all good. But it wasn't. He had to carry a fully pregnant woman on a donkey. Imagine that. Imagine just taking them in a car is difficult. By the way, I haven't done it either, so I don't know. But I'm presuming that it is very hard. But even through that, he had to take her through. And it was a long journey, 4 to 5 days or more, that the journey was on a donkey and he was walking by. And that was one thing. And then again, because the child of God was with him, he would have thought that the protection of God and the angelic protection would be around them. But no, it doesn't happen like that. So Joseph was told to run to another foreign nation to protect the child of God. I'm like, this is getting weirder and weirder. You would expect it to be all good, but no, it wasn't. So King Herod was going to kill him, but he says, no, he's going to kill, so you need to run to the neighboring nation of Egypt, and you stay there till I tell you. And he was there. It was all contrary to what they would have expected. And the same thing happens to you and me. When God promises us something, we would have this in our mind, how this is to look like. But the thing is, it doesn't look like the way we imagine most of the times. So, as I said, there isn't a reference point to it also. But in the midst of all of it, and I was also thinking, we become very impatient when we have a promise given to us by God. We want it to happen quickly. I am sure, if Mary was thinking like me, she would have thought, oh my goodness, I'm not going to carry this child for 9 months. I'm going to give birth to this child just like that. No, nothing. It's just going to happen. No, it did not happen. She had to wait for those 9 months. She had to fulfill all everything that was in the natural. She had to fulfill all of this. And in the midst of all of this, the waiting thing is a big problem. And Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus were in Egypt for a couple of years. They had to wait. And God told them some of the things, but he did not give them most of the details. I wish he gave them the details of saying it's going to be 2 years. You guys settle in Egypt, enjoy yourself, and just relax. After 2 years, I'm going to take you out. No, he doesn't tell them that. He says, oh, I'll let you know. When Herod dies, it's going to happen. God could have killed Herod just like that the next day, but he doesn't. Takes a few years before he dies, and then God comes to Joseph and says, let's go. So all these processes, I was thinking of it, and I thought, oh my goodness. When God's promise comes, we have our own expectations, but it happens according to what God has planned. And another couple of people that we see, this old man called Simeon was there. And when Simeon sees Jesus, he picks him up and he says, oh my goodness, I have seen the salvation of the Lord. Now, Lord, take me. So this guy must have been waiting for a long time. And he knew exactly when he picked him up and he saw the promise. And he says, I'm ready to go now. That you promised that I would see this child. I don't know how many years back he would have had this promise of seeing the Savior. And so he sees and he's ready to go. So there was a long wait, I presume. And there was this prophetess, Anna. And she was old. She's been in the temple for a long time. But the moment she sees, she knows that this is the Savior, and she starts evangelizing straight away. I don't know how long she's been waiting. She's been in the temple for 80 odd years. And the only thing that she did was fasting and praying. And she was in the temple all the time. So these are different people. Different people came around this birth, around this promise. But they all had different journeys. But one of the things that I can promise you is, and myself, is that there is a waiting period when a promise of God comes. So this verse I want to read from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 onward. Isaiah 40, 27. O Jacob, O Israel, how can you say that the Lord doesn't see your troubles and isn't being fair? Don't you yet understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary. No one can fathom the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the tired and worn out and strength to the weak. Even the youth shall be exhausted and the young men will all give up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word that I need you to put it into your heart is, but they that wait upon the Lord. Waiting. We are not, this society, this culture right now is not a waiting culture. We are an instant culture. Everything is instant, 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 instant. And I know I've said this before, but when you put your food to warm it in the microwave, you're tapping to see how quickly those seconds will go through. We are not a waiting people. And even in the lines, we really hate standing in lines. We're like, man, what's going on? For you to know what waiting is, you need to go out of this nation. You need to go to India. You need to go to those third world countries, and then you know what wait is. And there are times when the government officials make you wait for no reason. There is no reason. After 2 or 3 hours, you realize that there was no reason why they made you wait, but they made you wait just because they wanted you to wait. That's how things happen. But the thing is, we are such, and especially the New Zealand culture or the first world cultures, we are very impatient now. Everything has to be instantaneous. If it doesn't happen quickly enough, we give up and we move on to the next one. And that is the problem that we have. But the Bible clearly says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we, in God, we need to wait. There is no other way. There is no other way. When God promises, I'm going to go quickly through. When God promises us something, we want to possess instantaneously. From the promise to the possession, we want it to be like, God said, you're going to da-da-da. And the next moment, we want to step into that. But it doesn't happen like that. But I wanted to say to you, and I wanted to say to myself, between the promise and the possession, there are a few more P's in there. And the first P is, it's called a process. There is a process between the promise and the possession. We're very, as I said, we are very impatient people, but there is a process. So the question is, why the process? I will ask God, why God? Why do we need the process? The process is there, it prepares you to possess the promise. If you look at all the examples in the Bible, Joseph was given a dream that everybody were bowing down to him and da-da-da-da-da, and he was going to be the man. He was 17. From 17, he needed a long time before he got into actually becoming the man that God wanted him to be. And in that process, in that period, there was this process of him going through. And in the process, there isn't good news. In the process, there's another P, which is called problems. If the process was a simple process, it would have been really, really good. But the only issue is, in the process, there is another P called problems, and the problems have got another P, which is painful problems. There are painful problems that you have. There are problems, and there are painful problems, and in those painful problems, we have people in it. Yeah? In the process, there is problem. In the problem, there's pain, and the cause of that pain, most of the time, are people. If you look at it, we will see that there, why problems in the process? To help us become stronger, to face the problems, when we possess the promise, when you actually become. So for Joseph, when he actually became the governor of Egypt, when he was managing everything of the king, but before then, he had to manage 41st household. He had to manage the prison. And only after he has managed these things, only then he was made to become the prince of Egypt. Only then he became that. So there is process. And in the process, there are problems. And in the problems, there is pain. And if you're in any part of this process, maybe you just stepped into a process. Guess what? Or maybe you just got a promise. It's great that you got a promise. Maybe you had this promise for a long time, but you've been in the process and you're getting impatient. I want to tell you, don't get impatient yet. In the process, there are problems. And in the problems, there's pain. And in that pain, there are people. And once you go through all these levels, like the young guys know, playing video games, there are levels that you got to go through. And only then you can actually become who you become. Process and problems. This is another thing that you need to remember. Process and problems are unique to every individual. Your process, because your promise is for you. So if the promise is for you, the process is planned for you. And if the process is planned for you, the pain is planned for you, and the people are yours. So this is the thing that goes in. So let us not be just generalize it. And so, of course, God gives us a lot of stories. Abraham. Abraham's promise was unique to him. Abraham's possession was unique to him. And there were problems that happened, and there was a process for him. Joseph was the same. David was the same. David was meant to become a king. And before he became a king, he had to kill Goliath. But before he killed Goliath, what he did was he killed the bear and the lion. Before he became the king, he was anointed king. But before he became the king, he had to kill the bear, the lion, Goliath, and almost had to kill Saul, but he didn't because God said, don't touch him. So there's this process. And there are Sauls in your life and in my life. There are people who are wanting to kill you to make sure that you don't get into the promised land, so that you don't get to possess what God has done. And Peter, the same thing. Peter's process was completely different. And then Paul's process was completely different because their promises, their assignments, their possession of the promise was unique to them. And hence, the process is going to be unique. The pain's going to be unique. And the people in that are going to be unique. So let us embrace the process this morning. And I wanted to share this with you, share it to myself this morning, because at the end of 2018, we look back and we say, wow, that's been good, but still you may be thinking, God, these are the promises that still need to be fulfilled. And we are stepping into 2019, and we are excited about 2019 for the first couple of days. But the thing is, for us to be excited about 2019 for the rest of the year, you and I need to embrace the process that we're going to go through in the next year. We say, God, I'm going to get ready for the process. And during the process and facing problems, we want to. These are the things that we want to do. But these are the things that will have bought us from actually stepping in or possessing the promise. During the process and facing problems, we want to leave rather than learn. We want to run. Am I talking to myself or am I talking to us? I'm sure I'm talking to us. We want to run. We want to leave because we're like, this is not how I saw God to be doing this. If God has promised, this is not how it's going to be. So because it's not what I was thinking, now what I'm going to do is instead of learning what God is trying to teach me for me to go into the promised land, I am going to leave and I'm going to run. That is the first thing that comes up. Leave rather than learn. The next thing that we want to do is we want to go back to what is familiar to us. Now we've taken a couple of steps and we're here with God, and suddenly there's this process and there's problems and there's pain and people, and what you want to do is, this is not worth it. Man, this possessing of the promise is not worth it. So what do you do? Instead of pushing in, what do you do is you want to go back to what is familiar to you and me. We want to run back to it. You know, the Israelites, when they faced the Red Sea and the army of the Egyptians behind them, what they were saying is, it was better for us to die in Egypt rather than be here. That was just before the miracle. And they wanted to run. And also, it's interesting, I think it's in Numbers where it says, they were saying, hey, we love the garlic and the onions and the leek in Egypt. They were not complaining about the whipping, about making bricks without straw. They were not complaining about all of that. But what they were complaining is, man, I miss the garlic. Must be, yeah, garlic's good. Garlic, oh, I miss the garlic, miss the onion, miss the leeks. Man, we miss those things. Why did you bring us here, God? Maybe that's a place where you're saying, oh, God. Man, my old life was better. Nobody asked me what to do, what not to do. I could do whatever I wanted to do. Sunday morning, I didn't have to go to church. Wednesday night, I didn't have to go to Connect Group. I didn't have to say hello to anybody. What is this nonsense? It was bitter for me to be back there because on Saturday night or Friday night, I could get drunk and get up on Monday morning. Nobody asked me about it. But now that I've got saved, I thought it's going to be really, really rosy, but it is not. Better go back. I want to go back. Familiar thing. And again, when Peter had Jesus and he saw Jesus do miracles and stuff, when Jesus died, what did he do? He went back to fishing. You and I go back. This is human nature. This is not putting down any one of us, but this is our human nature. We want to go back to what is familiar, what we are used to. We want to go back there. But God says, no, I brought you out of that this far so that you can get into this. But we're like, no, I want to go back. So we want to leave rather than learn. We want to go back to what is familiar to us. The third thing that we want to do is we want to help God in the process. Abraham wanted to help God in the process. He wanted to hasten up the process of God in giving him a child. So he produces Ishmael. So man, I was thinking of my life, and I'm sure if you think of your life, there are times when we produced Ishmaels, when God never intended us for us to produce Ishmaels, but it was always God's intention to produce Isaac. But we have, in the meantime, we have produced Ishmaels. But the good thing about it is, even when you have produced an Ishmael, God hasn't given up on your Isaac. That's the amazing thing about God. There are times when we think, oh, because I produced an Ishmael, we go back and we say, no, I screwed up God's plan and I produced Ishmael. But what God says is, he hasn't given up on Isaac. He hasn't given up on his promise for you and me. He hasn't. The only person that can give up on your promise is you. The only person that can give up on the promise is me. On my promise is me, because God is faithful when he speaks, and when we say something, he is faithful and just. He will keep to his word. He is not a man that he should lie. If he says something to you, he will keep it. Maybe in the meantime, I produced an Ishmael, but God hasn't given up on Isaac. So Isaac is yet to come. So we want to help God in the process or to speed up the process. The fourth thing that we want to do is we don't want to change or grow in order to accommodate the promise. When God promises something, every one of them had to take some steps, some natural steps that they had to take. But we, sometimes we Christians have become so laid back, we say, oh, if God intends, he will get it done. Yes, of course, God, when God intends, he can get it done. But the only thing is, he made a promise to you and he expects you to partner with him. And he wants you to partner with him. So we need to make some changes or make some adjustments to possess the promise. It's like a woman, when she gets pregnant, she has to change her lifestyle. She now sees what she eats, what she doesn't eat. Now she doesn't drink. Most of them, by the way. They don't drink. They eat right. If you want the child, if you want the promise of the baby in your womb to come out right, you change everything around you. You change your diet. You change your health pattern. You change your sleeping patterns. Till now you would sleep and you would get up whenever you want, or you don't want to sleep. You didn't sleep. But now suddenly you are sleeping on time. You're getting up on time. You're eating well. You're making sure you're exercising. You're walking. You're doing all this. There's a complete change that happens in a woman's life. And that is because the promise is in her belly. When the promise is in your tummy, when it's incubated, you make changes in your life and in my life. So there are changes that we make in our lives, like any other woman would. The first thing that we do is we make changes. We need to change or make adjustments to our spirituality. Spiritually, we need to start believing God for what he has promised. Till now, like, I don't care. But now God said, no, this is what I'm saying to you. This is what I speak over you. So now suddenly you change your thing and you start to believe with what God has said. So the second thing is you change your mentality. You mentally also you change. You prepare yourself. Think. You change your thinking. Now you started to believe what God has said spiritually in your heart. Now you change your thinking. You start to speak. You start to think as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you and I need to change our thinking, because God has spoken. We change our thinking now. We're like, no. I'm not going to think this way. I'm going to think this way. I'm going to align myself with what God has said to me. And when you do that, there's a change. There's mentally you change, and then the physically you change. Take steps and then confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You start to confess what God has promised you. And that was the reason why Abram was changed to Abraham. Because Abram was, from Abram to Abraham, is the father of nations. So this guy, even before he had a child, the promised child, he was going around introducing himself as the father of nation. He was going and saying, I'm Abraham. Who? I'm the father of the nations. Do you have a child? No, I don't. How come you're a father? Oh, because God said. Because God promised. So we change our language. We change spiritually. We believe in our heart, we change our thinking, and we start to confess what God is wanting us to confess. And then the thing is, when we physically, we need to change our environment. The thing is, we need to change our environment. When I was thinking of it, this thought came to mind. When Mary was visited by the angel, the next thing that you hear is, she has gone to her cousin Elizabeth. She changed her physical environment. Because if she was in the environment where she was, faith would not rise. Because people would look her down and say, who do you think you are? Oh, God spoke to me. Like, God spoke to you. What did he speak to you? You're going to have a child. Really? And how? By God. Really? Who do you think you are? You know, what God said, people around us and the devil will challenge. Because when the angel of the Lord came to Mary, what did he say? Highly favored woman. But guess the same thing. If the same story, she went and told the people in the neighborhood, she'd say, who do you think you are? The same thing when God says he's going to do something in and through your life, and you believe that and you say it to someone that who doesn't believe, they're going to put you down and say, who do you think you are? You're a woman, or you were an Indian, you were so-and-so. How old are you? Either they will say you're too young, or they'll say that you're too old. They'll say you're too dark, or you're too pale. They'll say you're too tall, or you're too short. They will say all these things, and they will say to you, who do you think you are? So this is what it is. You've got to change your environment. When God speaks, you change your environment. And I'm just reminded, when women get pregnant, now they have these groups of people who go through the same pregnancy stages. I was just thinking of Deborah Sylvester, because she has these friends. You go to these environments where you're hanging out with women who are pregnant at the same time and going through the process at the same time, so that they're not putting you down. And they're not saying, oh, come on. Come on, you're just making fuss about it. But the women who are in the same stages said, no, I can understand where you are. I believe in you. I believe in what you're saying. I can. And the same thing happened when Mary put herself away from her own environment into the environment of Elizabeth. The moment she walks in, there's a confirmation of God. The moment she walks in, the child in the womb of Elizabeth, who is John, leaps of joy. There's a confirmation of the promise of God that was spoken to Mary. When she changes her environment, she puts herself in an environment where what God has spoken will grow. Things change. So you and I need to put ourselves in an environment where when God promised something, that it'll grow in that environment. You and I need to make those changes physically. We need to make those changes. There are times when we don't want to make those changes, but you and I need to make those changes. And then financially, count the cost. Luke chapter 14, 28, it says you and I need to count the cost. It's not just in dollar values, but what are you going to give up? What are you going to get hold of? Because your direction has suddenly changed. Now a 14-year-old girl who was excited, who was running around, who she was excited because she was going to get married, and she was having a good fun time, and suddenly it all changed like that. So now she had to pay the cost of not going through all of this excitement. She hasn't gone through all of this excitement of getting married, da-da-da, and then suddenly she's pregnant. She skipped all of this. So finally, are you willing to count the cost? Man, I love this season because there's a lot of cricket on TV. I love this season because there's a lot of cricket, and especially when India is doing well, I enjoy it. And India is doing really well. Sorry, Jeff, but Australia is having a terrible time, which I don't mind at all. It was just going really well. India is doing really, 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 really well. And they're on the brink of winning the test this afternoon. So as soon as I'm done, I'm going to go have lunch and sit before the TV, which my wife really loves. She doesn't. She hates it. But anyway, so that's what happened. And then there were these players that I was thinking about. There's this new Indian opener who made his debut, and he really did well. So there was a little interview that I watched of his. There's another friend of his who was talking to him. And then he said how he has been preparing himself for this moment. He never knew when it was going to come or how it was going to come. The way that it came about in his life was because these couple of guys, one of the guys was injured, and these couple of guys were not doing well. So they just brought him from India, and in a few days, he's there playing in the biggest test across the world, which is the Boxing Day test in Melbourne, the largest crowd. And he was there. But what he said really impacted me was, like, he said, I was preparing myself for this moment all the time, even though he had no idea when it was going to come, but he was preparing himself completely for this moment. And it really did well, mentally did well, and he scored really good. And then there was another question that was asked, and he says he's married, so he said, hey, how is your lady luck coping with all of this? And he said, man, one of the best things that have happened to me is that this lady luck of mine, a woman in my life, is fully supportive of me. fully supportive of me, and she's always making sure that my vision or what's on my heart and my life is fulfilled. And I thought to myself, man, I wish we Christians were like that. We're like, man, I'm going to get behind something or somebody or your husband or your wife, and we're saying, we're going to go after it. I'm going to help you achieve this. And that really touched my heart. And then another thing is, what he said was, he said, how do you improve your mental and capacities and stuff like that? Indians are quite spiritual people. So you know what he said? He said, I do a lot of meditation. And I thought to myself, man, this guy's really, really, really busy playing all over the place, but he makes time for meditation? Really? In other words, what is he doing is, he's making time for church. He's making time for God. He's making time one-on-one with God, reading the Bible. He's reading, he's praying, he puts himself in the environment where he's mentally and spiritually prepared to play a cricket match. Honestly, that's what it is. And then on top of it, yesterday I was listening, the Indian captain is an amazingly charismatic captain. He's playing really well. And then that's another thing, that's another comment that these guys said was, hey, since he has married this woman, he has become more spiritual. I sat there and I thought to myself, my goodness. Wish people said about us that. Man, this guy, every day he's becoming more and more spiritual because he's got a call of God on his life. Because he's got this on his life. Call of God is not just preaching with a microphone. I'm not saying that. But being called by God as his child. Once he knew that he was a child of God, man, this guy's been really focused on God. And I thought to myself, he became more spiritual than he was before. In the midst of the biggest pressures, you have no idea. There are 1 billion people and 500 million of them are cheering for him. And once he misses, once he doesn't meet their expectations, they'll chuck him out like that and they'll have a lot of criticism on him. And that's the sort of pressure that he's under. But under the influence of all of these pressures and the media and expectations and everything, the commentator, these are Aussie commentators. One of the guys said, hey, he's become more spiritual since he married this woman. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, we need to actually focus. So we need to count the cost. Man, when we have a vision, we should not, we don't let go of God. We actually get a hold of God. I'm not talking about just a ministry calling. When I'm calling, when I'm talking about a promise of God, I am not talking about a ministry calling. I'm talking about a calling on your life to fulfill, to be a mother, to be a father, to be a neighbor, to be an amazing business person, to be an amazing sports person, to be an amazing whoever you are, nurse, doctor, teacher, whoever you are. That's a calling, that's what you do, but you're a child of God. For us, in the middle of all of this, we say, oh my goodness, God, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm not going to let go of you. And then this is another thing that we need to do. Intentional changes lead to intended destination. For us to get to Hamilton, you can't go over the North Shore, over the bridge. As much as you would love to go over the bridge, I love going over the bridge, or I love. You can say, I love going over the bridge, but I need to get to Hamilton, but I'm going to go over the bridge. You will never get to Hamilton, would you? Okay, you go, come around. No. Okay. Yeah, I'm not talking about other day. I'm just talking about going that way, right? But the thing is, if you're heading north, okay, let's change it. If you're heading north, you can't go to Hamilton. If you want to go to Hamilton, you need to head south. If that's where you want to go, that's where you make some intentional changes to the way you're going. If you want to go somewhere and you know that this is where God wants you to go, you need to make some changes. You need to adjust your GPS to get there. Good intentions make no difference. Intentions will change only when you take steps. Good intentions. So if good intentions change, man, we all will be fit, don't we? We all will be fit. We would have all lost weight and we would have all be, man, fit. But we don't. We need to put those intentions to it. And the prodigal son, I'm going to finish off quickly. Prodigal son says, He came to himself, decided he is going back, and he went. He was sitting with the pigs, and then he thought, oh my goodness, what the heck am I doing? There are moments like that happen in your life and my life. Maybe we're not literally sitting with the pigs, but we are almost there. And we sit there and we thought, man, this is not the life that God wants me to. So I've come back to myself, but I'm going to make some changes. And he made some changes and he starts walking back to his God. Take small steps and make some changes. There are change resistance. One is your past. Your past. Past experiences. We want to camp in our past. Man, that was so good. Man, 80s were so good. Long hair, bell bottoms. It was so good. Man, these tight pants and tight shoes. Short kick. Nah. We want to go back. Because we came through. I came through. Not we. I came through. I'm thinking, man, that was so good. But no. You can't stay there. You got to change. Got to change. We cannot camp there. Your past experiences want to hold you back. Your present familiarity, security, comfort zone. This is so good. I want to stay here. Oh my gosh. This is so comfy. This is so cozy. It is cold outside. I just want to stay here. Now you got to get out of it if you want to make some changes. Future. Uncertainty. It cramps us. Literally, there are times when you want to get up thinking of the future. There's something that happens in your tummy. There's a knots in your tummy. You don't want to get up in the morning because there are cramps in your tummy. Your legs, you want to take a step, but your legs are not moving. They're like jelly because there is uncertainty. But we need to make these changes. I just want to encourage you this morning to say, hey, God has a promise for each one of you. And you know that he has already spoken over your lives. With those promises in your life, I want you to refocus yourself and say, God, I'm going to make all the necessary changes to make sure that I'm going to accommodate your promise, that I'm going to take your promise into my life. Sadly, there are a lot of aborted promises because we haven't learned the art of waiting. There are many times we've given up on a lot of things. We walked away from so many things just because we thought, nah, I can't wait. This is taking too long. I did not expect God to take this long, so I'm going to walk away from here and I'm going to go back to my life. So this morning I want to just encourage you to say, hey, God, speak to us. Let's just stand to our feet and we're going to finish off. Jeremiah chapter 21, 11. I had to read this verse for you. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And this promise was given to the Jews while they were captive. You may feel like you're captive to whatever it is, but in the midst of it, he promises. But in the midst of it, he says he is going to be with you. I want you to start to trust God this morning. And that's what I'm doing this morning too for my own self. Take a few moments. And I pray that God would bring to your memory those things that he has promised to you. And that's a promise to you. And the process is yours. And only you can possess it, not somebody else. Somebody else is not going to possess it for you. Your husband is not going to possess it to you. Your wife's not. Your children aren't. Your neighbors aren't. Your church isn't. But only you are going to possess the promise that he has given you. And the process is unique to you. The pain is unique to you. The people are unique to you. There are times you wish that those people disappear. But the thing is, they won't. You and I need to learn to work with those people. Let us not quit on the promises of God, but let us say, God, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. Father God, this morning I pray, Lord, that there'd be a grit in our hearts, oh God, a grit in our spirits, oh God, where this faith just rises up and then just takes a hold of it, oh God, takes a hold of it. We just want to thank you for it, oh God. We want to thank you for it, oh God. Lord, as we come to the end of this year, oh God, I pray, God, that what you have promised over the years, oh God, we would take another step closer to that promise, oh God. We just want to thank you. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to every heart, oh God, wherever we are, oh God, whatever our situation is, whatever our circumstances, oh God. But the amazing thing is, we are unique, oh God, but you are our personal Savior, oh God. You are my God, oh God. You are my God, oh God. Know that God is your God. He's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Sanjay. Put your name in there and say, you're my God. You're my God. You're my God. You promised me, and you are my God. And I know you're going to take me through, oh God. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly. We just want to thank you. We want to give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name.